natural nurse, and Dr. Z, thank you so much for joining us today right here on Progressive Radio Network, where we are with you live every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. But that's just the beginning, because you can visit us on the archives 24/7. And if there's a show that you enjoy, and I know you do because we have about 300,000 people downloading our podcast all the time, I want you to know that if you go to naturalnurse.com calendar, you will see where you can join us live. Coming up this weekend, there is the Naval Expo. That is navalexpo.com. To see how to get there, it's at the Hyatt Regency on Long Island, and it's 2 days of incredible information, free lectures, about 100 booths, all-day events, free samples, and I will be lecturing on opioids, CBD, and natural pain relief. And I do a lot of consultations with people on how to use medical marijuana as well as THC, low THC, full hemp extract, and also CBD oil, all those things. There's so much vocabulary to know, like which opioid receptor sites do you want to influence, the CBA, et cetera, CBD. There's lots and lots of opioid receptor sites. And I am actually a member of the American Cannabis Nurses Association, and I have been studying that for many, many years. So that's a lecture I'll be giving on opioids, CBD, and natural pain relief right there on Long Island. And we can always talk about it by phone if that's something you want to have a consult in. How to use that stuff, which one to choose. It's kind of a jungle out there right now. Then in May, I'll be lecturing at the Sustainable Cosmetics Conference. That's in Manhattan. And we have our online herbal certification course, Using Herbs for Yourself and Your Family. It is part three of a four-part series, but you can always take just the one course. A very reasonable herbal certification, Using Herbs for Yourself and Your Family. Then we have class four in June, which is Feeling the Consciousness of Plants, as well as edible and medicinal herb walks at Restoration Farm, and an herbal medicine making workshop in June 23rd that Dr. Zamperone and I, we are doing that together. And it's an excellent two-part event where we go out in the field and gather our own wild edible and medicinal plants, and then we learn how to make them into medicine, and everybody goes home with their own herbal medicine that they made themselves. So we also have personal consults available, as well as ongoing classes. One that is very popular is called Career Paths in Natural Medicine. And that's where we go into what you can do in your professional life to actually do natural as part of what you make your living doing on all kinds of levels. Maybe you want to work in a health food store. We'll show you how. Maybe you want to become a naturopathic physician or have a specialty as a registered dietitian in holistic medicine. Maybe you want to be a natural nurse like myself. There's all kinds of paths depending on where you are at now. It's very interesting in my career paths workshops. I have literally hundreds of clients, and some of them are very young, just starting out in life, wondering what to do, and they know they want to do natural. And a lot of them are more like on my end of life where they're retired and they're thinking about what do they want to do now totally in their heart's desire versus what they did for 20 or 30 years, which they did for money but they didn't love. And now they want to love what they're doing. So for all those reasons, get in touch. Now, today we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Anya Schulman, and she is the executive director of Solar United Neighborhoods. And she has worked for decades in environmental projects and policy up and down the Western Hemisphere. And this work has helped her grapple with the issue of sustainable development. How important is that? And how to make complex issues relevant to the community. Solar United Neighbors got its start when Anya's son, Walter, said, "Mom, can we go solar?" In her role as executive director, Anya has been instrumental in the passage of landmark solar legislation and regulation. And in April of 2014, the White House selected Anya as one of 10 White House champions of change for solar deployment for her groundbreaking work to deploy solar energy in the National Capital Region. Best place to find her and her work is Solar United Neighbors with an S. You can look it up now and join us while we're on the show, solarunitedneighbors.org. So thank you so much for joining us today, Anya.
Happy to be here.
And I'm happy you're here, and it's wonderful, all the great information that you have, a lot of very specific stuff. I know I'm in Florida, and I'm working on solarizing my entire neighborhood, and we have some very big solar farms here in Florida that actually are being supported by the local utility company, which is Florida Power and Light.
That's right. They just announced a big plan to expand solar down there with the utility.
Right. Now, that does make sense, doesn't it, seeing as we're called, you know, I'm speaking for myself here, the Sunshine State?
I think it makes sense. I think the utility should be doing their part. We tend to be much more excited about the kind of solar, rather than big solar farms out, you know, elsewhere, we're much more excited about solar that takes place in the community. So on rooftops, on churches, on parking lots, on schools, on warehouses, in the neighborhood. For a bunch of reasons, we like that what's called distributed solar or local solar because it brings jobs to the community. And instead of just the utility making money from it, homeowners and businesses and churches and schools can use solar to lower their electric bills, so they can lower their bills by going solar. And so that's the kind of solar that we focus on, although we're not opposed to the big kind either.
Yeah, because it's a bigger picture. But you have been involved in the vision of solar and sustainability for decades. How did that start for you?
You know, I mean, the solar itself, I've worked in lots of different environmental and policy and international issues for years, but the solar really started with my son, which I think you mentioned a little bit in the intro. It was 2007, and he was 12 years old, and he was getting ready to find a project for his bar mitzvah. And he went to see the movie Inconvenient Truth, and he came back, and he said, you know, Mom, we need to do something. Climate change is real, and the government's not going to do anything to solve it. And he asked if we could go solar. And it's a long story, but it turned out to be a lot harder than we thought and a lot more expensive than we thought. So we organized a neighborhood group, and then it took us 2 years, but we ended up taking 45 houses solar in 2009, and that's how my organization got its start.
So actually working in your own neighborhood.
Yeah, start at home. You know, lots of environmental groups preach, you know, this is what you should do, this is what other people do, but we really started with what can I do myself, how hard is it? And is there something I can learn or do that makes it easier for other people? So we have a really pragmatic, you know, if you study yoga, it's really the idea of going through practice towards some goal as opposed to an intellectual approach where you try something, see how it works, stretch a little harder, try something else. So that's really been our approach to building solar markets is do it in a real place. Discover what the barriers are, and then go after those barriers and work at them until it gets easier and easier and easier to do.
Well, during that period of time that you're talking about, many of my friends in Long Island, actually in the New York area, did have solar installed in their home. And, of course, in those days, it was much bulkier panels rather than the rollout stuff they have now. But they got government support. I don't know who was paying that. Was it the electric company? Somehow they actually got a check back for a big portion of the hardware that they purchased to solarize their own personal property.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different levels of support for going solar. So still today, and actually this year is the very last year where you can get a full 30% off the total cost as a tax credit from the federal government. And that's available everywhere. And right after this year, that's set to go down a little bit each year. So this is the last year to get the full 30% from the federal government. And then in addition to that, depending on what state you're in, there's many different variations. And back then, the utility on Long Island had a pretty good incentive, so there was a lot of growth there. In some places, like Washington, D.C., where I live, we still have a strong local incentive. And in many other states where my organization works, there's no state incentive. So that really varies state by state.
Well, that's good to know. So if people were to visit your website at solarunitedneighbors.org, do you have any, like, sort of a path to discover what's available but in your neighborhood, you know, by going to a state site, or do you have a way to lead people to find out?
We do. We have a whole section on solar incentives that kind of breaks it down in really simple language for people so they can understand. Lots of times when solar companies and try to sell it, they mix everything together. And what we find is that the easiest way is sort of to break the incentives and the cost down in sort of simple categories. So we have a section that explains about the federal tax credit. And then we have information about state-specific incentives. And then, of course, there's the big savings that you get every year by producing your own electricity. And we can show people how to calculate what that savings will be.
So, you know, that is very real. I have to say, from my own friends and from, I'm sure, your own experience, people were almost shocked by the fact that their electric bill sometimes went down to zero for a lot of the years.
That's right. And there is a policy that is in most but not all states called net metering, which lets you produce extra energy during the day to offset your usage at night. So if you produce enough during the day, it can basically cover your whole bill. You're attached to the grid, so the grid works almost like your battery.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing turnaround. I mean, these are personal stories that I know of people, not, you know, abstract. And they decided, some of them, I would say, did not have money problems. And they were not even doing this to think that they're going to gain money-wise. That was only an aside. They were sort of committed environmentalists. And they really wanted to be part of a solution and, you know, make a statement about less oil use, et cetera. And that was a lot of their motivation. And then, of course, there were those government programs in terms of reimbursement for the hardware. But all of them were amazed at the outcome because some of them, like, they don't actually – in the old days, I remember people actually getting a check if they created over a certain amount. But then moving forward, it seemed like you just held the credits and it went towards your bill, let's say, in the middle of the winter and it was very rainy in New York. So either way, it was a win-win.
That's right. And that particular policy called net metering that allows you to roll those credits varies by state by state. And it's actually under sort of organized attack by anti-renewable energy groups across the country. So that's one of the main things that my organization does is help organize people who have solar or else people who want solar to fight against these attacks against net metering, because we believe very strongly that you should get the fair value of the energy that you produce on your own private property.
So, yeah, now that, let's talk about the politics of that a little bit, because, you know, right now, we don't even have to say who's in office, we all know, and we never know, this show can be played in the future. But there definitely seems to be a marked and, you know, thought out attack on moving forward with renewable and digging in deeper, with things like coal and oil, but that's just madness.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And one of the things that's made it even crazier is that the cost of solar and wind have dropped so much, and even the cost of batteries and storage, that those, wind and solar, even in combination with batteries, are now out-competing coal and gas in real competitive markets. And so it's not even a cost thing anymore. I mean, we used to have a really good argument for environmental reasons to make the switch, but now it's the environment, but it's also less expensive and less impact on health and other things. So it's really, the whole situation has really transformed in the last couple of years because the costs have dropped down. And that's why you're starting to see things like the utility in Florida building it themselves. Because it's not just that they're trying to, you know, do the right thing. It's because they look at what the alternatives are, and it turns out that solar is one of the things that's the cheapest type of energy you can make now.
Isn't that amazing? What a big turnaround.
It is.
That is just incredible. And you're saying, you're sharing with me, and you kind of know, I don't know what you know, you're the expert in this field, but I know a little, but you're throwing out words that I'd like to go deeper for our audience. Like, for instance, you were talking about battery. Where does the word battery come into our discussion here?
Well, normally, right now, when people go solar on their home, what traditionally for the past, 10, 20 years is that they did not put batteries in. And batteries literally used to be like what was in your car or in your boat, a big lead acid box, and they would put it in their basement. And that was used only if you were off grid. So if you had a cabin out in the woods and you wanted energy or something in a remote area, you might do solar with battery. And that would mean that you could store your solar energy, extra energy. The way I was talking about net metering, you could do it yourself. So you could store the extra energy you made during the day and use it at night. It didn't used to be something that solar people would do because it adds a lot to the cost, and the batteries used to be really tricky and difficult and complicated to use. Well, we've had a revolution in technology, and everybody now, I think, has heard of the Tesla Powerwall. But there's many other kinds of new modern batteries, and they can go in your house. They don't take a lot of the maintenance. They don't take a lot of room. And that means that there's a new way to empower homeowners and businesses and even utilities to use renewable energy, because they don't need to rely on the rules. If the rules aren't paying you well for your energy, for example, if you don't have net metering, now, all of a sudden, you have the option of just storing your own energy in your own house or your own garage and using it later. And the other thing about batteries that's really amazing, and what we're going to be seeing and hearing a ton more about, is that the batteries will allow people to have solar and keep the lights on if the grid goes out. So because of climate change, we're seeing more and more fiercer storms and hurricanes, and the power's going out, and people have health issues, they're losing their food, it's scary. If you have a battery and you have solar, you can keep the power on even if the grid goes down all around you.
Now, let's say, of course, installing it with the battery, if you wanted to do it, let's say, in your own home, like you're talking local, is definitely more expensive than just not doing the battery. But could you add the battery feature in at a later date?
You can do both. So one of the things is that if you add it in when you go solar and you wire it properly so that the battery will be charged by the solar, one of the big advantages is that you can take that 30% federal tax credit on the cost of the battery as well. So that's one of the reasons why it's nice to do it at the same time. However, you can do it later, and that's actually one of the programs that we've been offering, is group battery retrofits for people who already have solar, and we'll organize a group and get them all to add their batteries at the same time. We just did a pilot project in Maryland to test that because Maryland has an incentive for home storage. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot more state-supported and city-supported programs for home storage because they're trying to increase, again, that word resiliency, meaning able to withstand disasters.
Well, that's certainly becoming more important, I would say, in every area because, you know, there's almost nowhere now, if you're listening to this show, and I know people are listening all over the world, you don't have to, if everything's fine today, I'm here in Florida, you know, I can just think back a couple of years where there was giant hurricanes here and we did not have electric for 2 weeks.
That's right.
Which meant toilets did not flush. And there's no gasoline, so no one was going anywhere, and the stores were all closed. I mean, it was pretty horrendous.
Yeah, you know, anybody who's been through that is starting to think, well, how can I avoid that the next time? How can I protect my family? And the thing that's really amazing about the solar plus storage solution, rather than, say, getting a generator, which is what a lot of people do, is that the energy supply comes to you every day, and you don't have to go out and get a can to refuel the generator or worry about those kinds of issues. You get it free delivery every day.
Yeah, as long as it's a nice day. But, of course, with the batteries, they're storing the energy when it is good sunshine, and then you have it there, you know, for quite a while. Like, how long would a battery-stored energy last?
You know, it really depends on how you build it. You pretty much can build it any way you want. What they typically do is try to build for, it just really varies. So on the cost and the size of the building and the purpose of the building. So for a shelter, you could build a very large battery system and have it, you know, run for multiple days without having sunshine. And on a home, you might want to just have a small, inexpensive system that, say, keeps a couple of circuits running. Like maybe you want to keep your fridge and two or three other circuits in your kitchen running and a fan and a small air conditioner. That would be a much smaller system, but you can at least, you know, protect your food, keep some lights on, charge your phone, charge your computer, things like that.
So this is fantastic, what's going on now. Everyone needs to know about your work, Anya, and also investigate how they can get involved, and we'll talk more about the group purchase that you are really working on at SolarUnitedNeighbors.org. We're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion with Anya Schulman, Executive Director of Solar United Neighborhoods. We'll be right back with more.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
Okay. How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, Some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to more right here on Natural Alternatives and the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here with your host, Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, along with my partner, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And we are interested in all things holistic and have been. Well, me since 1964, that is when I started my holistic practice. Believe it or not, it's getting to be lots of years. And that involves everything from speaking with individuals about what they'd like to do for themselves to help their own health, to teaching how you can incorporate natural lifestyles into what you do as a profession. And today, we are speaking with Anya Schulman. She is the Executive Director of Solar United Neighborhoods, and she has worked for decades on environmental projects. She is sharing so much wisdom with us. And Anya, as the Executive Director of SolarUnitedNeighbors.org, you have a lot of hats to wear.
That's true. Yeah, we are working on all sides of this. We're educating people. We're organizing people and helping them go solar. We're doing technical assistance to schools, churches, and municipalities who want to go solar. And then we're doing a lot of advocacy and even organizing a national solar tour so that we're doing a national open house for people that have solar all over the country this October. And we're actually, one of our most fun projects right now is a national solar-powered brewery contest where we're going to have voting on what's the people's favorite solar-powered brewery. So it's all in the name of teaching people and showing people the way that solar is a real solution that's available today, and we're trying to create as many pathways as possible to help people get there as quickly as possible.
Now, here's a good question. What about people who rent instead of own their own home where they can make decisions about the building?
That's a good question, and the answer really depends on where you live. So if you live in one of about, I think it's about 10 states now that have community solar, and that number's changing all the time, community solar is a new approach to sharing solar where you can build solar somewhere else, not on your roof, and then you can buy a subscription to the output from that installation, and it offsets your bill, and it works just like as if that piece of solar was on your own roof, but it's done via the internet. So there's a bunch of states where you can do community solar. We actually have a lot of information on our website about not only how does community solar work, but even how can you sign up for it? And we have referrals to sign up for it. So that's one option if you rent. Another option is you convince your landlord to go solar. A third option is that in many states, and again, depends which state you're in, you can choose an alternative energy supplier. So there might be the utility. The utility might have green energy options, or it might be that there's a competitive that's allowed. Some states have competition, some don't. In the states that have competition, they almost all have a green option. So, unfortunately, it's still super complicated, and you have to be a fairly dedicated consumer to figure out what's the best pathway for you. One of the things that we're offering now to help people is a membership, which you get, it's an $85 membership, and you get access to our help desk, which is basically, you know, real people available all day who can answer your questions, review bids, look at your, you know, and help you figure out the path that works in your state.
So that's wonderful if somebody lived even in, let's say, a community. Now, what is this concept about neighborhoods going solar altogether? Because that's, you know, something that is your specialty.
Yeah, I mean, that's really our origin. Like I mentioned in the beginning, we started taking a large group of homeowners solar together in my neighborhood in Washington, D.C., right near the zoo. And we really protected a methodology that we think is really helps people go solar. And it is pretty simple. It's each person is owning their own system. So there's no complex, you know, business or economic. You're really buying your own system. But by gathering together as a group, you learn together, you organize together, and then we will help all the way through the process, from the very beginning to the very end. We'll help you evaluate your roof, make sure it's a good fit for solar. We'll issue a request for proposal on behalf of the group and get competitive bids from installers from the private sector to get you the best equipment, the best warranties, and the best price for solar. And then we will help you as a group pick the best company to do your installation, and then we'll work with that company and make sure they're living up to what they promised, all the way to a big party at the end where you invite everyone, including your elected officials, your local mayor, maybe your representative, and celebrate the fact that you've all gone solar as a group. So that's our co-op process, and we've done it over and over and over again. We've actually, at this point, we've had 23,000 participants across the country. We've taken 3,600 homeowners gone solar, and it's been 28 megawatts of solar. So a megawatt is 1,000 kilowatts, and that's the size of the capacity of the solar. So it's really been a methodology that started local, and then we figured out how to scale it. And it's one of the main things that we do in the states where we have programs.
That's just an exciting process because it makes it a community event. And also, you know, there's a lot to know. A lot of people just don't know how to get started. So with the membership that you're involved with, like one person could be the member and get all that information for the group. Like, who is the best people to work with in your area? You know, what's going on with the installer situation where they live?
Yeah, I mean, the membership is actually really for people for where there isn't a group. If you join a group, it's free, and you actually automatically become a member, and we take people in a structured way through the process. What usually happens is that people, when they start to the process of going solar on their own, they get a bunch of bids, and they get really confused, and they get kind of paralyzed. And so what we are really good at is breaking down the information in simple bite-sized parts so people really feel confident in making the decisions. They, by the time they go through our process, they understand the policy, they understand the incentives, they understand how much it's going to cost them and how much money they'll save, and they understand the technology. And so they know what they're getting into, and they have the confidence that they're getting into it with a company that's really vetted and reputable. And they are also meeting and working with your neighbors, which gives you more power. A company, you know, or a government, if you're, sometimes the problems are with the government or with the utility. They may give you a hard time if you're one person by yourself. But if you're 50 neighbors working to get all together, you're going to get the attention you need to have a really good experience. And that's also the power of the group.
Well, that just sounds like, you know, a wonderful community project and something that really, really can work. Now, what are some of the things to look for in an installer? Like, what does your group look for to qualify? And is there a rating system or something? Because, you know, sometimes you see ads in the local paper. It might be someone who really doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, we do a lot of work to evaluate the installer. So we look at their track record. We actually call references and former clients. We look to make sure they're licensed and bonded. And every state has different licensing rules, and we make sure that they have all the license. We look at their proposal and make sure that they know what they're doing, that they have good warranties, they have good equipment. So those are the kinds of things that we do to really vet the installers. And then, you know, in our process, it's the homeowners themselves that make the choice. We make sure they have the very best information and know how to evaluate it, but they actually choose themselves. We call it the bid selection process, and so we convene a group of homeowners, and they make the choice because there's also personal decisions. Sometimes a group or a community says, you know, we really want to give this local organization, this local company a chance because we want to help support jobs in our neighborhood. And so they might lean towards a local company that might have less experience, but because local matters to them. Another group might say, well, we really want the least expensive or the most experienced or something. And that's part of the whole power of neighborhoods, is that by working as a neighborhood, you get to put your own values on it as well. It's not just what the experts say. It's the experts guiding you and then you saying what's important to you as a community.
Okay, so, you know, it's like you're saying, it's a neighborhood project. Now, what if there's a neighborhood, but there's different kinds of structures? Like, what determines a neighborhood? I know here, I'm in Century Village in Florida, and so I've been talking to the powers that be, and we're putting together a plan, and we're going to invite in some people from your group who are experts in Florida to, you know, start doing a presentation about the cost. And we have different size buildings, we have different kinds of buildings, and there's actually hundreds, I think 800 buildings in this one unit.
Well, that's really exciting. I think, you know, there can be a lot of variety in the buildings. There can be a variety in size and shape. And the installers are very well suited to deal with that variation. I don't think that's a problem, and I don't think the size is a problem. I think it's really about, you know, having a similar approach that it's a group, like if it's a group that wants to, you know, purchase the systems or lease the systems, those kinds of things make a difference. But, you could have a lot of variation and it'll still work. I would say the only thing that's really different is something like a government entity that really needs to move on their own time frame. They can't really go along in a group because the decision making is so different. Does that make sense?
Sure. What you're saying basically is that this is very individually decided. It's not, you know, one size fits all.
Exactly. And even though there's a group process, each building gets a unique proposal that's based on a site visit to their building. So you could have, you know, a very small system in one building and a very large, complicated system in another. And that's fine because each, even though the processes group, the proposals and the, you know, the construction and the design is individualized for each building. So that's why you can accommodate a lot of variation.
So, you know, that's a big project when we're talking about that. But let's say somebody lives on a street and they really want to do solar themselves. To work with you, would they have to, like, go speak to their neighbors and do it as a group? Like, what size group would be necessary?
Yeah, so there's really two options. So one, and one is you want to do it in a group. And this would be in one of the 12 states where we have on-the-ground programs. And if you want to do it as a group, you get a group, you contact us, you organize some neighbors, you get sort of a critical mass, maybe it's 5 or 6 people together, and then we work with you to build a group. That's one approach. Other people are just like, I don't have time for that, or there's no group near me, or maybe they're in a state where we don't have a program, and then they can just do the membership, where essentially they just sign up, become a member, they pay the $85, and then we just coach them individually through the process. And you don't get the benefits of the group process, but it's, you know, it's available to anybody anywhere.
So that is, like, really an exciting thing when we look at being able to be part of the sustainable energy movement. And, of course, you mentioned, well, you know what, let's go to a break right now. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the difference in technology, because it's no more these big giant things on your roof with metal and clamps, and it's just not what's happening now. So you can tell us what the newest technology is like. And we will be right back with more so that you can listen to a station identification for our wonderful station, which is Progressive Radio Network, really the number one progressive station. And we're so happy to be on board. So we'll be right back with more right after this on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information. The kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one Progressive Radio Network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis. And there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food. And you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are so happy to hear from you. You can email us anytime And you can also get in touch by going to naturalnurse.com. If you'd like to know what classes are available for you, I would suggest the first thing that you do is go to calendar, because that's where we list all the classes. But also you could look at consults if you want to talk about, let's say, CBD oil or marijuana or THC. How much should you use? For how long? What kind? Because we are part of the American Cannabis Nurses Association and well trained in the use of those kinds of things, as well as all herbs. Dr. Zamperin and I actually offer 15 books that we have written. All you have to do is go to naturalnurse.com books and or naturalnurse.com classes. Or there's loads of free information podcasts like this one that you can link to through our website and other radio shows that we do, such as Herbal Yours and Dr. Z Show. So there's so much free information for you there. Articles, all you have to do is go to articles, search a topic. You will find an article that we have written that is annotated with all kinds of footnotes, so you know that every single thing that we're sharing with you is scientifically valid. So naturalnurse.com is a great resource for you. You can also email us directly right through that website. And thank you so much for joining us today. Now today we have as our guest Anya Schulman. She's the executive director of Solar United Neighborhoods, and you can find them at Solar United Neighbors with an S .org. And she has given us tremendous amount of information that you can jump on now about how to solarize your own house and how much more effective and better that will work for you if you work with a group together. How that can bring the price down, because let's say the installer now has, you know, a bigger group to work with, and the exact right government programs that may be available to you that you don't even know about. By the way, according to Anya, our guest today, they seem to be sunsetting this year. So Anya, that's an issue, right? But we don't know what new things will come in, especially perhaps after the next election. And, you know, with the new Congress, most of them are very aware of climate change. Well, it seems that the powers that be are trying to deny it. I don't understand that too much. Do you? I mean, the science is so solid.
No, I don't understand. I think it's more a question for a psychiatrist than a solar person. I don't understand it. I do think that the American people, though, in their real lives, they all feel that something's happening. They see the weather changing. They see the giant storms, tornadoes, floods, flash freezes that they've never had before. They just understand that things aren't the way they are, and most people believe in science, and they believe that the science, you know, the scientific consensus is solid. So I think it's really elected officials who are getting paid by special interests that are trying to slow things down, and I don't think it'll last much longer.
Well, I don't either. I just think it'll dinosaur itself out. I mean, even I'm looking out of my window and we are inundated, for instance, with iguanas, which I happen to love iguanas, but they were not natural. I mean, they're still not a natural species, but they're totally epidemic here now. Why? Because of the warmer temperatures. And another very important thing that you mentioned, Anya, is the fact that every time it snows and it's particularly frigid cold more than it's ever been before, this not indicate that there's, you know, they'll just go, oh, yeah, there's no global warming. What an ignorant thing to say. It's climate change. It's the vast change in what was the normal patterns for so many centuries.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so true. So
global warming wasn't a good term to explain what's happening, because it's much more complicated and actually much scarier than just warming.
Right. I mean, when you're talking about Florida and you're talking about electric, you know, we may be worrying about getting colder, like, you know, in terms of air conditioning. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why having the electric stay on is important for survival right now.
That's right.
And doing it with solar, I think, is really, really the best choice. Now, what has changed in the solar technology that's made it so much more accessible now?
You know, the biggest thing that's changed is the price. The price has dropped 90% in the last 10 years. 90%. And that's just, you know, phenomenal. It's similar to what we've seen with home computing and things like that. The basic technology is not that different. You have a panel. It's primarily made of silicon. It has usually an aluminum frame. It's usually about 3 feet by 5 feet. One of the big differences in the 10 years I've been doing it is the amount of electricity produced by one of those panels. So they've gotten more and more efficient for the same amount of square feet. And then there's also a lot of options now for the look of the panels. So you can get beautiful black panels that look sort of like a pool of water, you know, because they don't reflect the light. There's blue ones, there's ones that can be made to look like the background, and then they have different kinds of frames. So there's a much more of an architectural set of options. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, the battery prices is also plummeting. You hear a lot on the popular press about solar roof tiles and solar paint and a bunch of other new technologies, which solar windows, which I hope we'll see in the future. But in terms of what's commercially available and affordable, you're still pretty much looking at the same technology as you were before, but it's just better looking, more efficient, more affordable.
Well, those are three good words, aren't they? Yeah. I'm going to do a commercial for something. What is the downside of solar? Let's try that.
There's not a big downside. It takes a little time, you know, to, and obviously you have to put out some money before you get the savings. So it could cost you maybe $15,000 to put out. $15,000 to $20,000 would be probably the upper side of what you would be spending. That's a lot of money for people. And so they have to figure out, you know, do I refinance my house or a line of credit, or do I have savings, or do I take out a loan? Or do I get financing from the installer? All those options are really good. You get a third of it back the first year as a tax credit. But the biggest impediment, the biggest downside is coming up with the upfront money. You have to think of it like I'm prepaying my electric bill for, and then it depends on how many years. I mean, they last for 25 years. So some people are like, well, maybe I won't be in my house. So you have to look at the payback. So that's the downside, is the money and then the time it takes, the trouble it takes to get it, you know, to deal with the installers and evaluate and think about it and learn about something new. It's not a lot of work, but, you know, many homeowners have a big list of repairs and changes they want to make to their house, and they don't usually get to them until it's an emergency. And so being proactive and saying, hey, I'm going to prepay my electric bill. I'm going to make clean energy. I'm going to lower my costs. I'm even going to make my home more valuable. There's just amazing study after study now showing that a house with solar sells for more, somewhere between, I've heard studies between 4% and 20% premium on the value of your home.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. Thank you for pointing that out. Right. So if you made the investment, and I will say everyone I know who has found that, you know, even if they had to figure, okay, so maybe it's 5 years till they're actually breaking even for what they put out, but with the government rebates that they've gotten, they're so excited even the first month that they have no more electric bill in that moment.
Yeah.
And there's a tax credit for what they put out as well. So it's an immediate savings.
Yeah. And there's, it's in some ways, it's a little bit like getting a fixed mortgage. So it might not be the cheapest, but you know exactly what you're paying. And that it gives so much security to people that it really makes them, you know, you don't have to worry about you know, in some states we're looking at electricity prices going up 17% or more. And so you don't have to worry about, well, in 5 years, can I afford my electric bill? You've got that covered. And that really gives another kind of peace of mind to people. The payback really varies from state to state. In some places it's 3 years, some places it's 5, 8, 7, 9. I think the worst is around 11 years, depending on where you are.
Right. And then, you know, you're feeling good about what you're doing. What about all the pollution that you're saving in terms of the oil that doesn't have to be drilled for your house? I mean, it's really endless. I think there's really, it's way over on the side of positive.
Absolutely. Another thing that we're seeing a lot of now is people are adding extra capacity with their solar so they can charge their electric vehicle. And one of the things we've been offering.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, is when you go solar is a really good time to get a charger for your electric vehicle because you've already got the electrician in the house. They know what they're doing. They've got the permits. So you add in a level 2 charger. So even if you don't have your electric vehicle yet, you'll probably get one in the future. And then you're all ready to charge it at home with your solar power.
Well, we got to end, believe it or not. I want to tell people to find you at solarunitedneighbors.org. Share this show. We'll be putting up a link both on naturalnurse.com and at Progressive Radio. Very important show. Get the information for you, your neighbors, your community. If you run a business, especially if it's in like a park where there's an industrial park, the whole park can be done together at a great savings as well as, you know, tax savings, etc. So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Anya Schulman, Executive Director, Solar United Neighborhoods.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun talking to you.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.
You're tuned to PRN. We'll keep bringing you the best in alternative voices for social and political news, the environment, health, the economy, and a whole lot more. All you have to do is keep listening. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.